This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Good morning. For our radio audiences, I'd like to say good morning. This is Raymond Charles Barker, and I'm speaking to you from Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. With the change of stations, I have become my own announcer. So, we're on 7 radio stations at this time, and so I'm glad to say who I am, where I am, and how nice all you people are sitting out here in front of me. This is our religious science activity, as I call it, because we are believing something together that is vitally important. We are believing in the fullness and the richness of life. We're believing that our good is here and now, not later in time. Wherever I go after I leave here, it's fine with me. I want my good now, and I want it here, and I'm not the least bit interested in gold plates. Not at all. We believe that the infinite intelligence has provided everything necessary for the individual to have his good right here, right now. And so, that is our theme. Later on, I'm going to be talking on the subject, Is Your Life Interesting? And I have quite a talk for you this morning. So, I have a captive audience here, but of course the radio audience can always turn off the dial. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's relax a minute, close our eyes, and take this into our subconscious mind. That in all, through all, is one mighty intelligence, one cosmic mind. This cosmic mind is always creating out of itself. Behold, I make all things new, saith the Lord. We are immersed in it. We are the vehicles of it. It is in our consciousness right now as total good, as wonderful. And it is expanding our thought, expanding our interest, expanding our good. We subconsciously accept this, and so it is. And as always, here in Alice Tully Hall, we're going to sing our song, the same song, because I like it. So I give to you what I like, and I think most of you now like it, because we sure have been singing it for a long time. And hear the words. We build a new tomorrow. We draw the pattern clear. We make our plans with wisdom, for mind is ever here. Our thinking makes our future. Our actions pave the way. We build a new tomorrow on patterns formed today. We clear the heart of hatred. We clear the mind of fear. We speak no word of censure of all we see or hear. With love to guard and guide us, with mind to light the way, we build a new tomorrow on the sight we clear today. All right, good song, sing it. Let's sing it with authority.
Thank you.
topic today is your life interesting? And if it is interesting, it's because you're an interesting person. And if your life isn't interesting, it's because you aren't an interesting person. And the greatest thing in this world is we can always change. That's it. In essence, that's it. Now, people are going to say, oh, but Dr. Barker, how can I make my life more interesting? There are innumerable ways if you'll only start to look for them. Particularly here in New York, we live in the most fascinating city, or one of them, in the entire world. And it has every possibility. You're going to say, well, it costs too much. Everything costs too much in any city, anywhere, so relax. Because I don't go that road. Most fascinating city. Fascinating people, fascinating situation, and most people don't go outside of their routine tricks. They get up at the same time every morning, take the same subway or bus, get off at the same stop, get into the same elevator, go to the same office, and repeat it right back at night. Or they may stop at their favorite delicatessen on the way home. For that eternal, what they say, I'm going to eat just a bite. Those delicatessen sandwiches are more than a bite. I know. Now, if you're one of these people, what are you going to do about it? The infinite mind did not create you to be a dull, monotonous person. It created you to be an exciting, creative, outgoing, functioning individualization of itself. That's how it created you. That's why you have five senses. That's why you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. That's why you can look around you and see anything you want to see if you produce it. It's there. The whole thing is right there. And what do? We sit home. We sit home, and we go through our routines, you know. Also, we don't expand friendship. Vitally important. Keep somebody new in your life. We had a teacher years ago, Brown Landone was his name, lived to be 99 years and 9 months old. Very fascinating man. And he had a rule. He would never have an employee, and he had many. He was a very great teacher and writer and letter writer and all. He would never have any employee over 22 years of age. When he hired them, he'd say, now, on your 22nd birthday, you're through. You'll have a new job. I knew him when he was in his 80s and 90s. He looked about 60. And if it's any help to you, he smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. That'll take the guilt away from some of you. And he always said, the only reason he didn't drink was he hated the flavor of it. Didn't like it. He said, it's not virtue. I don't like the flavor. So, now that was his routine. It's not my routine. It's not yours. I don't know if I can make it work. But he made it work. And he always shifted his staff. Always. So, that was his way. And did it have anything to do with his life? I don't know. I have no way of knowing whether it added years to his life or not. But he kept himself surrounded. He would never go out with old friends. He said, old friends are the aging process. Now, does that mean you shouldn't have old friends? Of course you should have old friends. I have many of them. And they're grand. They're wonderful. But you and I are in a universe of infinite variety. There are all kinds of things, all kinds of people, because the infinite mind never repeats itself. It never produces two people alike, even twins. And they tell me that twins would always be far different one from another if the parents didn't dress them alike as children. You know, at that cute stage, they say to dress them alike at that cute stage is psychologically damaging. I don't know, I'm not a twin. But, at any rate. Now, this infinite variety in which we are forever immersed, it's all right here, and it's all here to be seen, tasted, touched, smelled, everything. Right here to be experienced. But the monotony creeps in the back door of the mind. And monotony, I think, is one of the greatest sins we've ever had. I'm not worried about the others. You see, I'm worried about the mind that slows down, the mind that gets dull, the mind that has no further imagination. Now, Jesus told the people around him one day that they should become like little children. A very wise admonition, because I'm sure he saw them in their dull routines. And you see, children are never in dull routines. What they can't think up is beyond anything. Ask any mother or father. The children, for the first 6 or 7 years before they have gotten a little dull, are just something to behold. They can think up of the craziest things. And you're going to say, well, they do it to annoy their parents. No, they do it because they are still fascinated with life. They are still fascinated with colors. They're fascinated with sounds. They're fascinated with all this thing around them. And they're intrigued by it. But gradually as we grow up, we lose some of this intrigue. We may revive it in our late teens. We may revive it upon the occasion of a marriage or something like that. But, I'm going to say again, to me, the greatest single sin is monotony. And it is so easy because it is physically comfortable. It's so easy. In your own apartment, have you changed a picture lately? Moved one from the living room into the bedroom and one from the bedroom into the living room? Or is that same picture that's been there for 30 years still there? I can say this because recently I changed the picture. But I've been looking at, I won't say 30, but I've certainly been looking at it 20 years. Well, it's a nice picture. All right. Many of my guests were a little rude about it. They thought it was not a very good painting. But I didn't care. I liked it. It had been given to me, and so I put it on a wall, and it stayed there. It was all right. Fitted the room. At least people knew there was a picture. Well, now that picture's gone. Something else gone up in its place. And so, there's at least one little change in my monotony. Yes, I do have some. Yesterday when I was thinking this out, you know, I said, all right, you better practice what you preach. You'd better get something new, interesting, and wonderful in addition to all the things you now have. I don't mean an object, I mean an interest. See, many people increase their lifespan through hobbies. They may be in an office or they may be in a business situation which is, I'll say, monotonous. It's about the same thing year after year. But on the outside, they create interesting situations for the family unit and for the individuals in it. Yes. Now, let us do the same. Now, spiritually speaking, we are supposedly created to be alive, alert, keen, vital, interesting, and productive. Because I don't think that the infinite intelligence made a mistake when it created you or me. I think the mistake rests in the way we use it. And it's all here, and it's all now. You're going to say, well, how do you do it? All right, I'll tell you what I did yesterday evening. I sat at my desk and I said, all right, mind, I am open and receptive to new, fresh, creative, vital ideas. I'm going to get some. I am open and receptive to new, creative, vital ideas. I am open to change. An important sentence. I am open and receptive to change. You know, as we mature, we resist change. And change is the health of the mind, the health of the spirit. So, I am open and receptive to new ideas, creative ideas, vital ideas, and I am open and receptive to changes in my life. That's saying a lot. Now you can say, well, just by saying that, will it do it? No. But if you say it long enough, you'll really believe it. And when you really believe it, then you'll do it. That's why repetition is the key to the whole thing. That's how you learn the alphabet and the multiplication tables, how I did. If I say it often enough, I can vary it. I eventually believe it. And when I believe it, then my subconscious mind projects it into form. So I want to say for all of you, there'll be some changes made. And they're going to be pleasant changes. Is that agreeable? And you're going to be happy in the changes. And you're going to become excited in life. About a year ago, and I better do it again, about a year ago, I talked on the subject, the divine excitement. How the infinite is always excited over its creation, particularly over its creation of the individual. And the individual who can find this inner excitement, this inner enthusiasm, this inner joy, this inner creativeness, this inner vitality. When you've got that, you've got it. And you're going to say, well, but my life is this, my life is that. Well, change it. Well, then forget it. Stay as you are and keep your appearance as good as you can because the undertaker wants to make you look right. I'll do the service. But if you can change, you always look right. This is the excitement of being alive. I told you before, we had a writer many years ago, the book's long out of print, he wrote a book called The Realms of the Living Dead. And he wasn't talking about life after death, he was talking about people who aren't alive while they're here in their body and their heart's still going. He called them the living dead. Oh, yeah, they go to the office, they come home, they go do shopping, they come home, they do this, they do that, they come home. Now, years ago we had another teacher, Florence Shin, many of you know her books, and she loved to tell this story. Now, whether it's true or not, you know, all of us exaggerate, including the present speaker. At any rate, she always told the story, this is a woman well along in years, of the old friend she hadn't heard from in years, who came to New York on a visit, found her name in the telephone book, and called her up and said, oh, Florence, it's been 30 years since you and I have been in touch with each other. And she said, yes. And she said, I want you to come to luncheon so we can talk about the old days and the people we knew. And Florence Shin said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Well, why? Well, she said, I don't go backwards, I go forward. She said, I'm not interested in who got a divorce and who married whom and how many children they had. Not the least bit interested. I'm in a today person in a today situation. And I'm going to keep myself there. So anyway, she never went to lunch with a friend. Now, I don't know if I could be that rude. But luckily, no one's come on my doorstep from the old days of a number of years. I'm still safe. I'll tell you my reaction when it happened. You know, one of the nicest things that happened, and a change it was in my life, For many years after I first came here to New York City, friends of mine and former members of my congregation in Rochester, New York, where I started all this, used to come in and, oh, it is so wonderful, Raymond, so wonderful. My, you look just like your father. And you have your mother's face and your father's hair. I would get this out in the lobby where I couldn't do anything. To be surrounded with people. And they've gone. That whole generation's gone. Thank the Lord. Now I have my own face and my own hair. You see, to them, I was George and Harry's little boy. Even though I was 6 foot tall, that time I weighed more than I do now. Now to come back. No, I don't know that I'd be that rude. I probably would go to lunch with them and we'd talk about the good old days and so forth. But she had a point. And that is this, the interest in the now. The interest in the today. The interest in this present. Now, of course, you can be one of the gloomy people and say, well, did you read the paper this morning? No, I'll keep that for afternoon. I don't fill my mind with that when I'm coming to Tully Hall to talk. And when I do read the paper, I put them aside at the end and say, all right, so that's that. That's that, not a word of truth in it. Pay it no mind, Barker, pay it no mind. And then I go out and do whatever I'm going to do. Visit with people, call people, write letters, do whatever I want to do. But I can't be in bondage to negatives. But most people are, you see. Most people are. Someone was in the bookshop at 48th Street yesterday, lives on 90th Street and Broadway, or near there, and they can't get me on the radio due to the new station. And so I said to her, well, you're right over there. Why don't you come down to Tully Hall? Well, she said, you know, it's that time of the day when I read my New York Times. In other words, she's never really heard me. She's on page 32 of the New York Times when I give out one of my gems. So, I hope she came this morning, and if she did, we'll both chuckle outside. And if she's home, I hope she's gotten to page 32. So we'll see who wins. Now, I have nothing to say about it except that I think if she wanted spiritual ideas and creative ideas and interesting ideas, I don't think that's where you'll find them. You'll find news that is necessary to know, that's all. All right, what are you going to do about this creativeness? You're in a universe that's exciting. You're in a mind that's exciting. You're in an experience that can be exciting. And monotony is the key to the aging process. I'll say that one again. Monotony is the key to the aging process. So, watch it and say, not for me. I am open and receptive to new ideas, exciting ideas, creative experiences, and I want them now. Because all of life is here and all of life is now. The whole thing is at this instant, at this point. It will be wherever we go after we leave here. All of mind is here, all of love is here, all of life is here. All the intelligence of the universe is centered in every individual. And it's there to be discovered, to be found. And we're in the process of finding it, discovering it, using it, expressing it, and rejoicing in it, having a good time. People say, Dr. Barker, you seem to have such a good time in life. And I'm supposed to. That's what life created me to do. Nothing wrong with that. Like the woman years ago that had an apartment wherein she could unfortunately see my lights in my window of my apartment. She couldn't look in, but she could see the lights. And one Sunday morning, after church was over, she said, you didn't turn your lights out until 1:30 last night. I said, that's absolutely right, and it's none of your business. Yeah. Now, I don't think she heard a word I said. She probably said, oh, he's so tired. You know, must be exhausted staying up that late. I did give a good talk. And gradually, she disappeared. I think she went to our competition. I hope she got an apartment where she could watch him. I felt like saying to her, which I didn't, well, I was sitting up there all night reading the Bible, the Holy Writ. But I wasn't, so I didn't lie. At least it was a break from putting my lights out at 11 o'clock every night, you know. At least it was a break from that. And it was a change. Now, if all of the life of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, the being of God is in you, through you and as you, and it is, then you'd better wake up. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, what he said to people who were very much alive. Because he knew they had been trapped in their own minds by monotony, by the usual, by the traditional. Good word to throw in. By the traditional. The usual. It's what everybody's doing these days, they say. After all, it's the way life is these days. Everybody's the same way. They are not. There's still great musicians being born into this world. Great artists, great dancers, great everything. Great smart businessmen. They're, and businesswomen. Better get that in. They're being born, they're being raised, they're coming into fruition. And they're going to do great things and wonderful things, but you have to watch to benefit from it. It's like spending 1 hour in the Metropolitan Museum of Art here in New York. You don't see anything. Oh, you have quite a walk. Oh, you glance here and you glance there. But of course, to a connoisseur of art, that isn't seeing the Metropolitan Museum of Art at all. Now, again, it's here to be seen. So people say, well, but fall is come and it's cold. I know, but go out and look at the leaves. They're beautiful. No, they never think to do that. Go and look at some leaves. Do anything. Do something this afternoon you haven't done before. Or if not this afternoon, do it tomorrow. You know, try a new deli. It'll be different. You're going to say, well, that isn't exciting. At least it's a change. Now, wishing, of course, has never produced anything but fantasy and delusion. So if you're wishing for the mind of the universe to make you have, to give you a more exciting life, you have to start with yourself. The infinite helps those who help themselves. There's no power, presence, mind, spirit, or being anywhere that can look down and say, all right, I want you to be happier. But there is a power in the mind and the spirit, not a being, which responds to your mood, to your attitude, to your interest, and it gives you whatever you need in any field, where your interest may be. That it does. It responds. The infinite mind responds by corresponding. We have that in our textbook. It responds by becoming the thing which the individual has accepted and honestly believes. Now here again, sort your mind out. Do you honestly believe some of these ideas? Which the individual has accepted and honestly believes. Now here again, sort your mind out. Do you honestly believe some of these ideas? I mean with depth. With a really sincere. I'm always startled because So often, people in shaking hands with me or contacting me will say, you know, I get the feeling you really believe what you're talking about. I think, my gosh. Well, of course I believe it. You know, they're kind of startled. You see, that I'm not the charlatan, that I'm not the actor putting on a performance, that I honestly believe that I exist in and am a part of all that life is, and that life becomes to me what I become to it, and that I have to create it within myself in order to have it on the outside of myself. So let's go back. If you are leading an interesting life, it's because you're an interesting person. And if you're leading a dull life, it's because you're a dull person. But you can do something about it. The greatest law in the universe is the law of change. Anyone can change at any time if they really decide to believe a new idea. Now, as we mature, it's not easy to believe a new idea unless it's a negative one. Oh boy, we can believe that quick. Ooh. Yeah. We can sit in judgment very quickly on a negative idea. Isn't this terrible? Isn't this awful? Isn't this something else? Another one of my oldies. Back in the 40s, we had a metaphysical convention down in Washington. And I was there. In those days, I was one of the bright, shining stars. You know. The boy wonder, they used to call me. Oh, God. Anyway, it was the depths of depression. It was before the 40s. Depths of depression. And they had a symposium on what's wrong with new thought, that it isn't growing. And, oh, they got up and did all the usual talks. Finally, this man I mentioned earlier, Brown Landone, he got up and he looked at the chairman and he said, the only thing that's wrong with the new thought is it hasn't had a new thought in 20 years. With that, I scanned the people on the platform, the speakers, and they sure haven't. They looked exactly as though they had looked this way for 40 years. So, every once in a while I say to myself, I want to look better and better and better. I want to look younger and younger and younger. Because I want new thoughts, new conceptions, new ideas, new everything. I'll keep the good of the old, certainly. I'll keep the good of the old. But I want today. I'm here today. I expect to be here for a great many tomorrows. I've been here for a great many yesterdays, but I'm here today. And I'm not my father and mother's little boy. They're on their way, and I'm an adult, and I'm free. I am myself. And I am free. Thank God. I intend to stay that way. Because now is the appointed time, not next year. Well, doctor, gradually I'll become a more interesting person. All right, good. Fine. Gradually I'll create a more interesting life. Good, fine. But that usually means tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Greatest put off in the world. You know, I'm going to get around to sorting out these papers. Well, that means you'll never get around to it. You leave it for whoever's your heir to go through after you've gone on your way, and he's going to discover that most of the papers you think are so priceless aren't worth a thing. And all the old family photographs that you've kept so cherished, he looks at and wastebasket incinerator. The things you're going to get around to do, you never get around to do. The places you're going to go someday, you'll never go. I've had people late in life sigh and say, oh, all my life I wanted to go to Europe and I never got there. I don't say anything. They could have gotten there. Certainly if you're 78 years old, you could have gone if you'd wanted to. But all is well, I'll do it next year. Or I'll do it when somebody's health is better. Or I'll do it when business is better. So, here they are at 78. They've never been anywhere. Yeah. I was astonished when I first came to this city. I met a good number of people. How many people, and you're going to laugh at this, how many people in New York City have never been farther away than Philadelphia? Yes, I was absolutely shocked. Poughkeepsie at one end, Philadelphia at the other, maybe as far up as Albany. And I look at them. If you search around, you'll find some of these people. And I say to him, well, golly, that's a bad habit. Shouldn't you get out? Wouldn't you like to see Washington with all of its great monuments and all? Well, it will someday, which means they won't. Wouldn't you like to go to Boston? Maybe someday, means they won't. Right in their routines, immersed, caught, trapped, and then later on, they're going to weep a little and say, well, I did my best. And they didn't do their best at all. Anytime you say you did your best, it's a lie. You could have done it better. You hear me? It's very easy to say it back and say, well, I did my best. You did not. I never used that term on my own life. I could have always done better. Oh, including giving better talks all the time. And I strive in that direction. No, it's not getting around to it. It's what are you thinking this afternoon, this evening? And during the week? And what can be new, exciting, and different? And don't put it off. Don't put it off. So, I know people say, well, this great Broadway show came, stayed 2 years and went, and I never got around to getting a ticket. Now when it first opens and the raves and reviews, well, it'll be 3 or 4 months before they'll have any seats. All right. But get them now for then. Well, I think I'll wait. And they've been waiting ever since. Now it's gone. What a lack of money, wasn't that? They just never got around to it. Not you. Let's be today's people in today's world with today's mind, and let's get the new ideas going. Behold, I make all things new, saith the Lord. Not repeat, not monotonous, not dull, new. Just like you and I love spring here in the East. With the bursting out of the foliage, with new, fresh, clean, hasn't yet had enough polluted air to get dusty. Just delightful. And half the population goes around and doesn't even see the new green leaves. And they don't see the new shoots. Or the beginning of the flower. Don't see it at all. They're so busy doing what needs to be done to keep the monotony of their life going. All right, let me close now. If your life is interesting, it's because you're interesting. And if your life isn't interesting, it's your fault and nobody else's. Very unpleasant closing to a fairly good sermon. Thank you. Thank you. Now comes the happy time when the ushers bring around the collection plate for your happy money. And may I just say yet once again, if you can't give it with joy, keep it. Unless you can give it with joy, you keep it. Well, but many of you will give it with joy. Thank God. And here in our New York church, we're going to have a busy week, as always. By the way, you better find out there's been some time talk about daylight time going off next Sunday. Check on it, and I'll tell you why. For those of you that come to Tully Hall, you'll get here an hour early if you don't change your clock. Now, if it isn't changing, I'm going to find out tomorrow. Can't do it today. I'll find out tomorrow. Unless it's in my newspaper. All right, we have one more activity today at 6 o'clock. Mr. Fritz Herman will be speaking at our own edifice, our own building, which again, for the radio audience, I'll just say is at 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, 10017. That's where you write me and so forth. So, there's a noon lecture every day, Monday through and including Saturday, with vital speakers. There's a Wednesday night lecture at 6 o'clock. Mr. Fritz Hermans will have it this week. And I'd like to mention, looking ahead, that the weekend of November 15th, our associate, the Reverend Mr. Grayson, will be holding a seminar up at beautiful Lake Mohonk. And the details of this are all outside. Just go to the information table, and they'll give you the detailed information on it. It's all printed for you. This is a very happy occasion in one of the most beautiful settings possible. And you'll get wonderful Science of Mind lectures and meditations and treatments and the whole bit. That's the weekend of November 15th. I'll be here. He'll be there. Now, last week I mentioned, I'm going to mention it again, because, you know, we all laughed over it. But some years ago, four, I wrote a book called The Cause and Cure of the Common Cold. Now, here's a statement that always made a great impression on me. Americans will spend $350 million on the prevention and cure of the common cold during the year 1963. This statement from Market Research Authorities published in the March 1st issue of Forbes magazine. Do you hear that? Think what it is by now. Gone up, you know, that was 11 years ago. Americans in those days, in 1963, spent $350 million on the prevention and cure of the common cold. So, now I'll have you know that that's my cigarette cough. Yes. Anyway, I told you I read the book last week because I was going through a little situation, and I read it with great interest and used the treatment work that was in there, outlined in there for it. At any rate, these booklets for the radio audience are 50 cents a piece, and we'd be glad to mail them to you. Easiest thing is just send in a dollar and say, I want two of them. Easiest way to do it. And for those of you who are here, they are available outside at the book tables today and all through the week. All right, the November magazines are here and all the rest, so that's enough. Oh, next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're having the president of the entire religious science movement here. Old-timers love him. He's one of the finest speakers we have in the field. Dr. Robert H. Bitzer of our Hollywood Church in California. So, I'll tell the ladies, next Sunday, no matter what the temperature is, wear your mink. I want to impress him. At any rate, I'll be here with him and to introduce him and to thank him and all the rest. And he's going to give you a superb talk, and the topic is the dominant mind, the dominating mind. Now, in the afternoon, we're going out to Hicksville, New York, to grant a church charter and to give licentiate recognition to one of its ministers, and that's in the afternoon. Anyone in the Long Island area, anywhere near Hicksville that is interested, contact the Hicksville Science of Mind Center, and they'll give you the details and the invitation to be a part of it. Dr. Bitzer and I are going out there for that. Now, to come back to this moment, this day, this idea, this happening, this whole thing. All of life is for me. All the good there is possible. Everything that I need for a fulfilled, changed experience is right now in my consciousness. But I have to awaken it. I have to awaken it. It's there. Every idea I will ever want, need, and can use is already in consciousness. Total mind is in total consciousness. In me, through me, as me. God in me, through me, as me, is that which I am. The whole thing. Now, these ideas will come through your own patterns. They will come in your fields of interest. They will come in your areas. But they will come. They will happen. Because you want them to happen. So here again, it all starts with desire, you see. It all goes right back to desire. What do I really desire? The maintenance of the present? Might be. And if so, you're aging. Or the new, the exciting, the different, the fresh, whatever it is. And you, how do you do it? You do it by talking to yourself. I am open and receptive to new ideas, clear ideas, wonderful ideas, exciting ideas, and I'm receptive to change. I'm willing to change. And when that hits your subconscious mind, boy, it says, does he mean it? Or does she mean it? Is it so? Is it so? All right, we've had a good hour, and for the radio audience, you've been listening to Dr. Raymond Charles Barker at the Religious Science Activity in Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center. Shall we stand for our closing idea together? Reminding ourselves that we are immersed in and a part of an exciting, creative, dynamic mind. The mind of the universe, the mind of God. It's in us, it's through us, it's in action. We are the inlet and the outlet to all of it. And for this we rejoice and go forth into a changing, improving, wonderful experience. So it is.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.